Here's a provocative idea to leave you with today. Companies love to churn out hype and spin about themselves. Corporate hyperbole is practically a language of its own in America. But for public companies, whatever the hype, their value is clear. The stock market tells the tale of what investors think of a company, and while individual investors can differ, the collective wisdom and valuation of a company's stock is a number that's hard to argue. My next guest decided to use the collective wisdom of his circle of friends to clarify his own value and the value of his decisions. He offered shares of himself, dollar a share, to raise some startup cash and to give his friends a tangible stake in his life decisions. What an insane idea, right? Except that Mike Merrill of Portland, Oregon, publicly traded individual, has attracted some enthusiastic new friends who have done well so far. Entrepreneur Mike Merrill has 100,000 shares outstanding. 128 people bought in on the ground floor, including Marcus Estes. Here is Mike Merrill's investment pitch to his friend, now shareholder, Marcus.
The new pitch, Marcus, is that by investing in me, you're able to help guide my life decisions. And if those decisions are made correctly under your guidance, we both greatly profit.
Reaction there, Marcus?
Well, I was subject to the original pitch as a friend of Mike's, actually. And it sounded as harebrained at that time as it does now. The difference between
Thank
now
you for
and
saying
then.
That. Thank
I mean,
you for
we
saying
have
that.
To be honest
yeah,
here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The difference between now and then is that I have made a lot of money off of Mike in the meantime.
So you got in at $1?
Yeah, I think it was less than a buck from the beginning.
How many shares?
My initial purchase was probably less than 10. It was just kind of a gesture to my friend. Oh, you're doing this funny, obviously kind of performance-y thing. I'm not sure what this is, but it seems kind of real and that there's PayPals involved. So I think it was less than 10 to begin with.
And how much of a position do you have now?
Well, so I went up as high as nearly 100 shares over time. I saw the price increasing, and like any other sort of fungible security, I thought, my theoretic sort of net worth as part of this is slowly creeping upwards. So I made kind of a rational decision to take a larger interest in Mike over time.
I want to give people a sense of the visuals here. You, Marcus, are the investor in a hoodie, yes?
Yes.
Looking a little tastefully grungy, let me say.
That's a kind way of putting it.
And Mike, you're the asset here.
Yes.
You're the equity position.
Exactly.
And man, you are just spiffed up. Tie, Oxford shirt, double-breasted suit. Nice.
Thanks.
Could I day trade you and based on what you're wearing, see the stock price go up and down?
I think the fashion implementation is more of a long play.
Long play,
I see. Than a day trade opportunity.
Explain to me how you decided to offer shares in yourself, encourage friends and, I guess, romantic interests to invest and you know, how's it been going?
It's been going fantastic. It started more on a project side, sort of more of a traditional investment opportunity where I was doing these projects with a lot of friends and we would gather resources, time, talent, money, and then do some sort of media project with it. And there was this time when I wasn't able to get all of the money that I needed to achieve this project.
We often find that in life.
But exactly. But I had so many people promising so close to it but not quite there yet. And I thought, well, if they trust me with it now in this one instance, why not just trust me in general and I can build up a large pile of cash and then go after and do these projects? And on the flip side of that, I'll offer those that sort of offer those funds an opportunity to help guide which decisions that I make.
Why would the value of you, Mike Merrill, go up over time? And how much has your stock appreciated? Give me the peaks and valleys.
All the trades happen between the shareholders. So that price is determined wholly by the site that we set up where they trade amongst themselves. So I have very little to do with that actual stock price. So for me, it's a measure of how optimistic they are about my future opportunities and how well I'm going to be doing in the future. In the early days, there was not a lot of volume in trades, and so the spikes would be pretty dramatic. But over time, you know, it started at one and then has crept up pretty slowly and gradually. And I think today it's probably around – I think it's like $15.
15?
Today. Yeah.
Do the math on that.
15? People who bought at $1 are worth 15 right now. What did you do? Did you get a PhD? Did you buy a Tesla? I mean, what happened?
I've done a
number.
I've done a number of small projects, the largest of which is actually the project itself of selling shares of myself. So, yeah, it gets a little bit recursive and fun.
Yeah, or Ponzi-like, I guess, would be how you say that. All right, how does someone who is maybe romantically interested in you have influence on your life in a way that could both benefit them financially and possibly start a life with you?
I decided at a certain point with all these shareholders, many of whom were my friends, many of whom were strangers, that where a normal person would start asking their friends and family for advice, I turned to my shareholders. And I thought, what greater example of that than who we date? When you're interested in someone, you're talking to your friends about them, you're asking for advice. So as I was starting to date various people, I would basically report on that activity to my shareholders and get kind of a running approval rating of these various different people. At a certain point, one of the people that I was dating, she started to gain more and more shares and sort of help vote herself up and others down. And that all went very well, and she became my shareholder-approved girlfriend, and we wrote up a relationship contract that the shareholders ratified.
Yeah, I'm going to weep. This sounds so unbelievably romantic. Marcus Estes, let me pretend you're on CNBC reporting on the Mike Merrill new girlfriend story that just broke. How would you analyze what happened and track the success or failure of this particular girlfriend candidate?
I would say that the shareholder appraisal of Mike's girlfriend's potential addition to the bottom line was initially very optimistic, perhaps cautiously optimistic, because it represented, you could say, kind of a major executive entrance into the pantheon of people around Mike.
Name here of this particular girl?
Marika Dixon.
I see. So yeah. So the Marika story was a huge story.
It was huge. It was the biggest thing I think that had happened to the project yet, because if anything is most important to Mike's health and happiness and energy, it's his love, right? So the shareholders collectively decided upon Marika. Mike gave us that power, and she's been great for Mike. The bottom line has absolutely seen that as a result since she entered the picture.
Now, what has she done? I mean, what did she invent something? Did she bring a bunch of assets to the table here? Does she have a contract with the modeling agency?
She works in finance, so I think that's a big plus.
That helps.
Yeah.
So she brings a lot of brains to
yes,
the operation.
Absolutely.
Is she like a Wozniak to you, or is she like a Steve Jobs to you? What do the shareholders think? I don't care what you think, Mike.
I can tell you, the moment that we knew that Marika was the girl for Mike, she was set to sign a relationship contract that stipulated an option to buy additional shares of Mike at a certain price on a certain day. She waited until the last minute and set up a backroom deal to send the stock price plummeting just for one trade. Once that was inked in, she was able to buy in at like three times the rate. We thought, not only does this girl put up with Mike, but she's actually sharking him on the market. This is definitely a long-term proposition for these two.
Now, that's romantic, right? You have to agree with that.
Yeah. All right. To people listening out there who might think that this is just a completely cynical exercise that has no meaning whatsoever and once again reiterates why capitalism is a problem for the world, not necessarily a help to the world, what would you say to them?
We're all already doing it anyway. All I'm doing is measuring the influence around me in a way that's very concrete and putting a dollar amount on that. And I've created an intentional environment of these shareholders that want certain things for me and that I want as well.
Publicly traded individual, that's PTI?
Yeah, publicly traded person, individual. You can throw those
PTP. Yeah. Is there an index?
Not yet. I'm alone right now. But,
right.
Yeah.
Makes it hard. You're the deal.
Yeah, I had to make my own market, obviously. I don't think NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange is interested in listing me yet. So I've got a ways to go.
All right. Good luck. And, I hope to see you on the ward somewhere. it's great talking to you about this.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.